it mean to be ready for Christmas? For far too many today, the season which speaks of God's love and providence has become a stress-filled time of fear, anger, disappointment, and frustration. For these, the very thought of Christmas is one that they would prefer to ignore altogether. Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This week, we begin the first sermon of this Advent season. Pastor Jim has a powerful message on the hope that is offered to us in the coming of Jesus Christ. Christmas really is about the present that was given to us, because Jesus is the gift of God's love made manifest. It's nothing that we deserve, but it's given nonetheless. Let's listen now as Pastor Jim brings us this first message of Advent.
From now until Christmas, there's a question that I'm sure you've heard many times in the past, and you're going to hear many times between now and Christmas. This question that you've probably asked many times as well. Are you ready for Christmas? What does it mean to be ready for Christmas? I think most of the time when someone asks you that question, what they're asking you is, do you have all your decorating done? Is your tree up? Are your gifts wrapped? Do you have all the gifts purchased? Do you have all those things that are the glitter of Christmas? Do you have all your plans for a big family gathering? Do you have all your food set up? Where you're going? What you're going to eat? Are you ready for Christmas? That's what they're asking when they say this. But the fact is, we do need to be ready for Christmas, but not those things. We need to be ready for Christmas because we get to partake and be a part of the birth of Jesus Christ. We get to celebrate that birth. Today our text is Matthew 1, beginning in the 18th verse. That's Matthew chapter 1, beginning in the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Oh, Father, Lord, as we study in this text, and as we look at being prepared for Christmas, ready for Christmas, oh, Father, I pray that you speak to those who will hear this message, whether it be here in this building, in this sanctuary, whether it be over the internet, whether it be over the radio, no matter what country it is in. Oh, Father, speak to those who hear, that they may draw close to you, that they may know the Savior, that they may be saved. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. As we look at this text, there's some things I want to look at before we jump in here completely. If someone was to ask you, what is Christmas all about? What would you tell them? How would you define Christmas? Especially, how would you define Christmas if you did not know Jesus Christ the Savior? It would be very difficult, wouldn't it? In fact, what we know about Christmas, it would sound very much like what we see all around us in the world. Every year, as Christmas comes around, there are those who are filled with hopelessness. There is a hopelessness that has overtaken many people. And this year, it is increased. This year, that hopelessness is widespread. Suicide rates are climbing. Hopelessness is overwhelming in the people. As they are isolated, as they are in stay-at-home orders, as they are wearing masks, as they are divided, as they're there to stay away from groups, as people are dying by themselves, there is a hopelessness that has come over people. And in this hopelessness, they aren't looking to the Savior. They are not looking to Jesus Christ. It is my great prayer that during Christmas, they will be reminded of Jesus Christ and that they will find the hope that is in Him. We do have much going on that would cause hopelessness. The CDC report shows that 40.9% of adults say that they've had at least one mental health effect because of COVID. These include symptoms of anxiety or depression, 30.9%. Symptoms of trauma or stress-related disorders, 26.3%. And a thing that is very concerning is the rise of alcoholism and substance abuse to cope with all of the issues of COVID-19. CDC says that's at 13.3% increase. We need hope. Now, if you know Jesus Christ, there is nothing that this pandemic, there is nothing that the election, there is nothing that's going on anywhere in this world that can rob you of your hope, because your hope will be in Jesus Christ. Now, the hope that I am talking about is not a wishful thinking thing. It's not the thought that, oh, I sure hope our football team goes to the Super Bowl. I sure hope that college basketball gets to play. That's wishful thinking. That's a wish or a desire. I sure hope that I get some wonderful present for Christmas. I sure hope, the little girl says, that I will get diamonds and jewelry. I sure hope. You see, this hope is all desire. But wishing or desiring something does not make it happen. It may or it may not happen. But the hope that we have in Jesus Christ is guaranteed, because it is a promise from God. And God keeps all His promises. He keeps all His promises. He will not let us down. As I was looking at definitions for hope, I came across this in Romans 8, beginning in the 24th verse. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? For we hope for what we do not see, and we wait for it with patience. You see how Paul is showing us that it is not just some sort of wish, but it is like faith. It is trust in what Jesus Christ has promised us because of what Jesus Christ has done. We need to keep our hope in Him because He is worthy. You know, during Christmas season of any normal year, there are many stresses, many concerns. Came across a story as I was studying about a little girl who watched her mother and father getting ready for Christmas each year. It seemed that her father was burdened down with finances, and he was burdened down with taking care of the family for Christmas. And the mother was burdened down and concerned with the parties and the presents and all the decorations. And they just had no time for her. She felt that she was being shoved aside. In fact, it seemed to her that she is always being told, "Would you please get out of the way?" So one night in December, she knelt beside her bed and she prayed this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, please forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us. You see, what she saw in Christmas was rejection. We need to put our hearts and our minds in the right place, our focus in the right place. We need to prepare ourselves to celebrate the incarnation. What's the incarnation? The incarnation is God becoming man, the birth of Jesus Christ, and we need to show the hope of what it is about. Now, if you ask how the story of Jesus started, there would be those who would tell you it started with the angel's announcement to Mary and to Joseph. There'll be those who say, oh, well, it really started with the announcement to Zechariah, the husband of Mary's cousin Elizabeth. Some will say, oh, no, look at the Old Testament. Isaiah prophesied of the coming Christ. And still others, with whose camp I am in, will take it all the way back to Genesis. To Genesis chapter 3, after the fall, God promises to send the one who would be at enmity with the serpent. He promised to send the one that we need to save us. So as we come to our text today, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, verse 18 says. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now Mary, having already been told by the angel Gabriel what was going on, Mary having already surrendered herself to the whole thing for God's honor and glory, had to go and tell her betrothed, or as verse 19 puts it, her husband, she had to go tell him that she was pregnant, and he knew that he had never been with her, and that this child could not be his. The people in the community, they could debate back and forth. Was it or wasn't it? But Joseph knew. Joseph knew he had always tried to do the right thing. Joseph knew that the time for them to come together had not yet come. So Joseph knew this was not his child. But one thing that we get from this text is that Joseph loved Mary. Oh, his disappointment. You know it had to be great. Now, how could he possibly believe her, even with the love that he had for her, when she came to him and said that the child was from the Holy Spirit? The child was from God. You know, Mary had many things to think about as she surrendered herself to God, to be used in this way, to be used of God, to be his tool to mother God's son. She had to think about her betrothed. She had to think about the community. She had to think about her family. But with all of that aside, what Mary had decided, and we'll see here in a second that Joseph also decided, was that serving God was always the right thing to do, and that there were no obstacles, no fears, no challenges too great to serving God. Verse 19 says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame. Let's stop there for a second. This love that I'm talking about of Joseph's, even though she had come to him and told him that she was pregnant and he knew it wasn't his, he did not want to put her to shame. Part of the shame that would have come by the law, she was to be stoned for this act. And if he would have brought that out, she would have been killed. But he loved her still. And so what he decides to do is to divorce her. It says, resolved to divorce her quietly. To do it in such a way that did not make a public spectacle. In such a way that did not cause her to be condemned to a stoning. In other words, Joseph up front was willing to swallow his pride. Verse 20 says, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. she will bear a son. And you, Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Joseph just got the message. Joseph just heard the truth from the angel in this dream. And Joseph had a major part or role to play in it, didn't he? That major part, that major role that Joseph was going to play in it, started with Joseph naming Jesus. Because that's how it worked. That's what the Father did. And Joseph was to name him Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sin. Who are the people that Jesus, this child that Mary is pregnant with, who are the people that are called his people that he will save from their sins? We might say it was the Jewish people, the people of the blood descendants of Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through the sons of Jacob. But that's not who he's talking about. Not directly. Make no mistake, I do not fall into a condemned Israel. Make no mistake, I believe what Paul teaches us in Romans, that the true descendants of Abraham are the spiritual descendants. They're the ones who are grafted in, adopted into Israel. They may come from Israel, and they may come from the Gentile world, which is most of us, but that they are his people. Another way we can say that is those who are saved, or as the scripture calls them, the elect, those who were chosen from before the foundation of the world, are the people he's going to save from their sins. Those who are born again, those who believe upon the name of Jesus. That is who he is going to save from their sins. Because those of us who are his people are darkened in sin. We repent of our sin and we sin again. But Jesus saves us from that. And truly, when it says that he saves us from our sins, what he's really saving us from is the wrath of God because of our sins that we deserve because of the sins. Paul tells us that sin has a wage, and that wage is death. And not just a dying, but of being the recipient of the wrath of God being poured out. That's what's reserved for each sinner. God's wrath poured out for all eternity. That's what Jesus will save us from. But only those who believe. So Joseph receives this in his dream. And he wakes up. Verse 22 says, this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son and called his name Jesus, just as he had surrendered to do. But he woke up knowing that this wasn't simply a dream. This was the angel of the Lord who had spoken to him and given him direction, called him to what God required of him. And Joseph received it and did it. He did it. Folks, from here we receive hope. From this story of Jesus's birth, through the entire life of Jesus to his death on the cross, where he paid for the sins that you and I have committed who believe, and then to his resurrection. This gives us hope. Not that wish. No, no. Not that desire. No, no. This gives us hope that we can know and trust in Jesus Christ, because God's promises will be fulfilled. I want to give you some additional insight to what I see in this text. Both Mary and Joseph were ready to follow after God's plan for them, whatever it might be and whatever they might face. No matter what they might face, because they're going to face ridicule because things weren't in the proper order. They're going to face hard times. They're going to have to give things up. I once had a man who wanted to be baptized, and he and I had talked at length about following after Christ. He was baptized. Within a week of his baptism, he came into my office and asked me what he was going to have to give up, because at this point he has decided that maybe he had to give up things he didn't want to give up. Oh, brothers and sisters, what can you give up that is greater than what you receive? You know, in a snapshot, just quickly, Joseph was going to give up his home when he flees to Egypt. He was going to move away from family, from a career that was what he was going to be in, his line of work. Joseph was going to give up some freedoms. And Joseph was going to put himself out, lay himself out, as any parent does, for a child that was not his own. Kind of funny to think this child was not Joseph's own, but Joseph was this child's own. Isn't that funny to think about? But he was willing, as was Mary, to do whatever it takes. And also, we see here in this text that what Joseph was doing was not thinking of himself, but thinking of others. In his not wanting to have Mary killed or ashamed, he was looking to do it quietly and privately. And in his receiving and accepting what it is that God had for him, he was going to, in his receiving and accepting what God had for him, he was giving up his right for himself to take care of others. For he will save his people from their sins. So Joseph cared about other people and would even put other people before himself. I heard a story about a Christmas pageant, a Christmas play in a grade school. At this Christmas play, they were doing the story of the birth of Jesus. Of course, I remember as far back as first grade doing that. In this particular story that I heard, there was a young man who was learning, had a learning disability. And in his learning disability, he didn't understand things like others did. He was also a very large boy for his age. So when they were passing out the parts, this young man received the part of the innkeeper, being a very large young man. And they worked with him diligently that he would say in a rough, mean tone all of his lines as Mary and Joseph would come to the inn looking for a place. Finally, he had gotten it. He had his lines down, and the night of the performance came. Now in full costume, those who played Mary and Joseph, they come to the inn. And they knock on the door, and he opens the door, and they ask for a place. And he tells them to go away. There is no place. And he says it in a mean, strong voice. But then as Joseph again asks, is there not any place that I could bring my wife, who is about to have a child? It became a little harder for him to maintain his toughness. But finally he does, and he says, begone, begone. And as the characters playing Mary and Joseph turn with this very sad, fearful, pitiful look on their face, he hollers to them, wait, wait. Surprised, they turn back to him, and he says, you can have my room. The teacher that had put it on thought, oh no, my play is ruined. But really, isn't that the heart of Joseph that we see here? Joseph gave up of himself for someone else. Which leads me to my third point here. And that is, through Joseph, we learn to give whatever we have to give. Joseph was willing to give whatever he had to give. He laid his life aside to serve God in this. He put himself on hold. Now, friends, as you look around today, you're going to see people preparing for Christmas. Are they preparing for Christmas spiritually, or are they preparing for Christmas worldly? They need us to point them to Jesus Christ. More than your gifts to them, more than the shiny packages and tinsel, they need your love. And they need to know more than anything else about the hope that you have that would allow you to sacrifice for them. It's this way every year, but maybe this year even a little more so. Let's give of ourselves. Let's not hoard ourselves and hoard the love that God has poured into us, and the mercy that He has poured into us, and the grace that He has poured into us. Let's not hoard that. But let's take that, and let's continue to pour it into others, that it would be like the widow's oil, that it continued to pour until there were no more vessels to be poured into. May we pour that way, because God fills us to overflowing. May it overflow and point to Him and bring hope in the storm. Father, as we prepare for Christmas, we do ask, Lord, that You would use us, that we would have the opportunity to reveal You, to teach people who You are, that You would open their eyes and You would open their ears, and they would know that You are God and that they would be saved. Thank You, Father. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for Christmas. Thank You for giving us the greatest gift that could ever be given in our Lord Jesus. In the name of that Jesus, that Savior, I pray. Amen.
It is a wonderful thing that Mary and Joseph were willing to obey and follow God's direction regardless of the cost. This is the impact of the gospel on us today. Regardless of the cost, we've been given hope and called to share that hope with a dying world. God calls us to be vessels, overflowing with the grace that we ourselves have been given. And there's no better time to share the gifts of His love than at Christmas time. We encourage you to go forth and love someone with the grace of God this day. And if you do not know that grace yourself, we plead with you to come to the table and receive what is freely offered. The gift of forgiveness is given in Christ Jesus to all and on all who believe. He came to make the only way for us to be reconciled to God. We urge you, in the name of Jesus Christ, do not ignore this precious gift. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message, or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we will send you the book, On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History, by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar with stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history. And it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. Thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time on Light of the Word Radio. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.